Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like scrolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Bob, we're going to dive into some NCAA tournament talk, but there was another NCAA tournament that happened at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia.
And a big one too, Joe.
Man, a big one. There was an amazing story that unfolded there as well. And that is that Luke Stout, a senior from Princeton and from Mount Lebanon, wrestled his brother Mac, a redshirt sophomore from Pitt.
National champion Max Stout, by the way.
In the 197-pound weight class, and I was at a volleyball tournament with my daughter this week, and I was asking a bunch of parents, can you imagine if we were watching our two kids not play volleyball against each other or not basketball or something, but wrestling each other?
It's
what that would be like. It's unbelievable.
It is. And, yeah, Mac became an All-American, I believe, after all of this. He's at Pitt. He's going to be one of the big players next year for them, big wrestlers. And we have a man on the line who knows all about what that would feel like.
Yeah, that is Brian Stout, the father of Luke and Mac. Brian from Mount Lebanon, thank you for joining us, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. I mean, this was a great story to watch it unfold. Mac wins in the end, I believe. But what a moment for both, and what a moment for you. What was it like to sit there and watch that?
It was hard. There was no other way to say such a layered dynamic group of emotions all at once. And you know, we didn't want anyone to get hurt. We didn't want any feelings to get hurt. We didn't want any physical things to happen. We didn't want any hurt feelings between the boys. Moreover, but they're super, super close, and they handled it really well. It was harder leading all the way up to the moment. Mac, being the younger one, has been tortured by his older brother his whole life. We were joking this morning, my wife and I. Luke would have broken every bone in his own body and Mac's body before he let Mac win at anything, up until, you know, more recently. And it was a very cathartic experience watching him sort of pass the torch to Mac. He knew it was kind of Mac's time. And I think they both handled it really, really well, and it was touching on many levels, hard but touching.
And I know the Pitt had some good success there. Penn State has got that thing going where they're just winning national championship after national championship. But your son will be back next year. They seem to have a pretty good nucleus next year at the University of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they do. They have a great staff. Keith Gavin leading the charge there, and he. I used to coach at Pitt years ago, and then Keith was a wrestler back then. So kind of he's known my kids basically since they've been born. And he's doing a great job. They're a fairly young team there. And Mac has two seasons left, and a couple of his roommates on the team as well, Dayton Pitzer. He's in the heavyweight, Jared Kessler, another one of his roommates. They still have a couple years left. So I think they're going to be some strong presence in the next couple seasons.
So, Brian, what was the aftermath like when you went down and talked to both of them? What was it like for those guys? I mean, obviously, it's not the first time you've seen them wrestle each other. I'm sure that's been happening since they were 3 years old or whatever. But, man, to do it on that stage, like you said, emotional. Yeah. Tell us more about what the aftermath was like.
Yeah, it was. I'll tell you, my younger son, Mac, is a very very sweet guy, just a naturally sweet disposition, and he was very upset about the seedings after it happened. He was just a little bit sad. He almost struggled getting his hand raised, and he didn't want it to be weird at all, and it wasn't. Luke just handled it all so well. And, you know, Mac said after that, Luke, you know, when they were hugging, he whispered to him, he said, go be the champ. And he wanted that for him. I think they moved by it really quickly. When Mac got his award at the very end of the tournament, Luke was the first one in the hallway waiting to hug him. And we got a great shot of that. It was good. Luke was genuinely just happy for him, not sad for himself. And that was great to see. Listen, they're on different paths. I mean, Luke's doing some big things in the academic world, and, you know, and has been working really hard. He's been battling some injuries, so it took everything he had to be there and to wrestle hard, and he did great. And he was the biggest cheerleader for his little brother. It was pretty awesome.
Did they play other sports in Mount Lebanon? I know Bob here is well known in Mount Lebanon golf circles, and there's also some other people I know from, you know, a lot of people in Mount Lebanon. I hang out there all the time. Did they play other sports growing up?
Yep. They did. They a little bit of soccer early on, and then baseball. Mac got more heavily into baseball. He did the travel thing. Mac did some basketball as well. And I did an interview the other day, and I was saying it was great when they, because I didn't play much baseball, I didn't play any basketball, and it was awesome when they did that, because I could just really sit back and just watch them have fun. And Mac was like a Rodman on the field, like made like maybe one or two hoops a game, but was just a force on defense. He's always been a hustler, so it was kind of just fun. But they're just super active, you know, athletic kids. So they did a little bit of everything, and we tried not to let wrestling. It's just those individual sports, they could really take it out of you. So we tried to like pace it out as best we could, and made them be like really hungry for it before we start letting them compete too hard in it.
Brian, I'm more fascinated with more information about how your family watched this, and you said it was tough, but I want you to elaborate on what that means. Like, you're watching both of your kids go at it. Do you cheer at any point? Do you stay muzzled? What do you do?
Do you know what's crazy is it wasn't nerves like in a traditional sense where when you're watching them compete against someone else, it was more like, I hope everything's okay, and angst. There was an angst to it. My wife, funny, said that we were on a walk this morning. She said, you know, I was looking at the match, but I didn't really watch it. I didn't really see anything. She was high, like, you know, physically upset. You could tell. I mean, they're both, at the end of the day, they're both mama's boys, and she spoils them both. So it was really hard for her. Hard for me too. And we had a lot of family and friends there. The support, the outpouring of support for us was, it really helped. It was very comforting. But thinking about it this morning, the fact that it's the first time it's ever happened that brothers wrestle on a Division I level, and that they're both good enough to be there, and the matchup in the second round, they both had high seeds. And I was like, it really just hit me this morning, the fact that it worked out. So it's pretty amazing. And you know, we've always been like a family first family. It was just, we've always done everything together. They've always supported each other, whatever they've played or done. And it's never been weird. There's never been jealousy. And so we truly fought hard to lean into the gratefulness of it. And I just kept saying to my wife, it's okay. They're going to be fine. Just lean into how amazing this is. And that's what we did. But I said the words, and I forced myself to believe it, but it was hard. It was really hard watching them. And there was a time when Mac was in on a leg again, and he almost took Luke down again, and Luke fought it off. And I cheered a little bit there. I'm like, good job, Luke. I didn't want him to give up any more points, so it was good.
Brian Stout, father of Luke and Mac Stout from Mount Lebanon. Luke, a senior at Princeton. Mac, sophomore, redshirt sophomore at Pitt. They became the first set of brothers ever to face each other at the NCAA Division I championships, which go back almost 100 years. Lastly, for me, Brian, did you and or your wife play sports growing up? Are you athletes?
Yeah, I wrestled. I was actually a four-time All-American up at Clarion, so it's been kind of a family affair for us. And then, you know, my boys got into it. I have an older son that wrestled. He graduated from Pitt. And then we have a little girl who's just a swimmer now. She's only in fourth grade. But Jen was a cheerleader. You know, she gets big into the working out and stuff now. But, yeah, it was just right now it's all for the boys. But it's been basically, I guess, goes we've leaned more into my roots, into the wrestling part of it, and they've kind of taken that baton and have been running with it. So it's been nice to watch them develop more over as human beings. Really good kids, and it's been fun watching.
Well, I can tell you're a proud dad and a proud family there, and congrats on your success. 4-time All-American now. Your boys have something to shoot at here. Dad may get the last laugh there.
That's right. Give them a little bit of a goal, and, you know, hard to keep up with those suckers anymore, but it's been fun watching them chase it down.
You outdid Ron Cook, who was a hell of a football player at Blackhawk, so congrats on that as well, Brian.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, we appreciate it. What a great story. Thanks for taking the time, and good luck to your sons.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Brian. Have a great day.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Brian Stout, what a story that is, Bob, huh?
First time brothers go head-to-head, that's tough. I can remember, the only thing I can say in our family, when my brother's two boys were playing for the WPIAO Golf Championship at Latrobe Country Club, when Arnold Palmer was presenting the award.
Wow.
And it was one against another, and it's kind of hard to root. You don't want to root for one over the other, so you kind of sit there and just watch.
But yeah.
That's a tough one. So I'm sure Brian was really challenged, and his wife especially, watching that.
Man, I bet. And I'm sure he's taking heart in the fact that he did outdo Ron in many ways when Ron was at Blackhawk. Yes?
4-time All-American. That's pretty good stuff.
Not bad. Were you a good golfer in high school, Bob?
I was before my first open heart surgery, yes.
How good?
And I was the number one man on the golf team. I won the Beaver Lakes Junior Club Championship.
Were you going against?
The guy who I beat, Bob Ovcharka, is a better golfer than me. But
did you go head-to-head with Eddie Vittmeyer?
Vittmeyer's used to be, they were in... I guess it was Montour High School, and all the Vittmeyers. There's one after another, and all better than one another. So that was hard. We met our matches there. That was hard to do.
They're like the Stouts when it comes to wrestling, the Vittmeyers in golf. Vittmeyers,
legendary.
But Eddie outplayed you, didn't he?
Yeah, Eddie can play by far. I mean, when I was, capable and I didn't have my sternum cracked a couple of times, it's difficult to play that way when you got to change that around. So you develop bad habits, Joe. You know how it is. It's easy to do.
All right, Bob. That was interesting.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little NCAA tournament for a moment. We haven't even touched on this yet. I really enjoyed the Calipari Patino game. I didn't realize that neither team could shoot. That was like an old Big East game. It was it was a football game. Massively physical, fast-paced, highly intense basketball game. I loved it. And in the end, even though I picked St. John's and I was kind of rooting for them, I'm okay with Calipari. I like him.
Yeah. I mean, he's done a very good job out there. He's got some good NIL money behind him. And I think, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this last night, thinking about how these games have gone. The NIL impact is tangible to me with these teams because you don't see as many upsets. I mean, big-time upsets anymore. And I think that's because the teams that get in who are fringe teams, 15 seeds, 14 seeds, they used to have players who couldn't be on maybe Duke or Kentucky or all the blue bloods. So they would go to a place where they could be discovered. And oftentimes they would go there because they knew they had a chance in a smaller kind of arena.
Yeah.
But with the NIL money now, if you have a good player on your roster, whether that's Robert Morris, Oakland, whether that's one of those mid-majors, most times that player is going to be poached from your roster and he's going to go to the big boys.
Wasn't that happening before NIL?
Not as much as since NIL. I think NIL has really kind of made that even more so. So,
I disagree, Bob, but we could get into a long conversation about that.
But you know what I'm saying? If you're a good player on McNeese State this year, right?
Yeah.
And next year you'd come back to McNeese State because you say, this is a good opportunity for pros to see me. I play. I get a lot of minutes here.
Yeah.
But yet Duke comes calling and says, we're going to give you $4.8 million like Cooper Flagg is making, let's say. Okay? You're going to take that money and you may not play as much.
Sure, but do you know of any players from that low in the ranks who go to the likes of Duke?
There are a lot of guys who are discovered from different schools that go to big schools. Yes, they have an opportunity to get paid and they go. Don't you?
I mean, Robert Morris has been dealing with this for years before NIL. If you're good, you're going to go to a higher profile program.
And that may affect them this, paid or not. That may affect them right now, this year, after all the success they've had. Some of those guys may be noticed by other teams, and all of a sudden those teams come calling and they leave Robert Morris. That's my point.
Yeah, I don't know that accounts for the lack of upsets.
What do you think, Austin? Do you think that it plays a role into it? Because I do. He's not paying attention to a word I'm saying. He is completely polarized.
Limits, are you with us, or where have you gone?
Yeah, sorry, I was editing a Noah Hyles social video.
No.
Are you required
to
do that?
And here I thought you were listening to the show.
Until those last 5 seconds, actually.
Do you think that's feasible, what I'm saying, is that guys, it's harder for mid-majors and smaller teams to retain their players if they're good players.
I fully agree with you on that. And we've seen that with some programs, whether it be like Trey Townsend for Oakland last year, who played on that team that beat Kentucky. I mean, there were even guys from like St. Peter's and other
schools. But isn't the point that he played on the team that beat Kentucky?
Well, maybe, but it's also that, like, I'm sure Dickerson for Robert Morris, because he got a chance to showcase against Alabama in that type of setting, even though I'm sure he loves being at Robert Morris, somebody is going to see that game that he played and be like, let's offer him $1 million to transfer to us.
Oh, that's undeniable that there are players who are really good from mid-majors who transfer to better programs. I would just maintain that that's always happened.
Not as much.
I think that there
if
is.
If you're a good player in a mid-major, you want to be noticed by NBA scouts.
You want to go back to the days of Steph Curry, maybe, that he would stay at Davidson, but with the transfer portal combined with NIL.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It makes it difficult to find consistent big-time upsets, the ones I look for in this tournament. I don't think we'll see as many moving forward.
Okay, that's where we may disagree on that. I don't know about that.
Well, and I think it's more prevalent now, too, because you can just hand over a big bag of money that your other school, the recruiting pitch is so much easier for a school like Duke now compared to, like, let's say you're Andy Toole and you want to keep a player here. Like, if you're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, are you really going to bypass $1 million when,
no.
I mean, it's just, that's hard to do. It's generational money.
Of course. But my point would be that it was already happening. Plus, you get your time at the mid-major. You have to prove yourself before you do that, before you leave. And you just mentioned the kid from Oakland. He went there, they pulled the upsets, and then he left. You still have to perform at a mid-major.
Oh, there's no doubt. But that kid Sturts at Duke, or not at Duke, at Drake, I guarantee you that somebody's going to poach him to another school.
And then you're left without a way to combat that. What are you going to do? You can't come up with $1 million if you're them. And see, I think that is a problem.
He was going to leave anyway, would be my point, if the big boys came calling. And by the way, probably would have gotten money under the table from them, too.
I just think so much more prevalent now than it was
anyway,
in years past.
Because of the transfer portal, yes.
Yeah, because it's just so much more public with everything.
What is up with the ACC? Only has Duke left. That was it. They have nothing left but Duke. And Duke may win it all the way Cooper Flagg is playing.
That's my pick.
Actually, Tyrese Proctor has been outstanding. I think he's made 13 three-pointers
yes.
in two games, 13 for 15, which is an off-the-chart shooting percentage. They got some really good players there, and they may not have been in the big stage before, but they're ready for it. Can they last the rest of the way?
Knipple's a really good player, too. Like, their starting five is deep. Really good.
I'm just reading about this, Bob, which probably isn't the best thing to do on live radio. SI says the popular answer of why no or less, fewer big upsets has to do with the transfer portal and NIL filtering talent upward, but that is probably too simplistic. There are still plenty of really good players and teams at the mid-major level, which is my point. And they're going to be leaving
but
anyway.
But if you have a star player on it, like Dickerson, as we talked about here just moments ago with Austin, that guy has made a statement. And that statement is, hey, look at me. I took on Alabama, and I had a hell of a game here.
Right.
So, but in
but the point would be he was there to take on Alabama and almost beat him.
Right. But now he won't be there next year. Or, you know, the likelihood of him returning because of NIL and transfer, easily access to do this stuff, you know, makes it more difficult to retain teams. That's all I'm saying. And it really affects those teams that are not the Blue Bloods.
Sure.
The Blue Bloods will always have that upward filtering system of player influx. They're going to get guys who otherwise may not want to go there or couldn't go there. Now they will.
Always have, and that always will be a problem for them. I think we'll see. And the women's tournament, which I'm more interested in anyway, has always been pretty chalky, right? It's hard to get big upsets
hard.
There.
It's hard. And that's because of the, you know, although the talent is sort of spreading out over there now, which is good to see. You need to have that.
I'm just more interested. I'm compelled by the storylines on the women's side more than I am the men's side. I enjoy watching that game more, too.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of great players on both sides of this. So as long as the games are competitive, I like them. When they get blowouts in the first day, you do see a lot of blowouts. That's kind of tough to watch sometimes.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.